Hello. Welcome to the Creative Shift podcast. I'm Helga Henry. Join me in this space for conversation with entrepreneurs, intellects, business leaders and policymakers. So, we've come to the end of another year of Creative Shift podcasts. I'd really like to thank you for listening over the last year. I think we've had some great highlights. This is the year that we saw a leap in quality by moving our podcasts to recording them here in Highbury Studios. So first of all, a big ho, 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 and thank you to our sound engineer Rob and the lovely John Mostyn and his team here at Highbury Studio. I think that's been great. A big thanks to all our contributors this year. I really hope you've enjoyed, as much as I have, hearing from them and sharing their stories. And a big thanks to you for all listening. If you've got any ideas of what you'd like us to do next year, do get in touch. Email us or contact us via the website www.creativeshift.uk.com. Whether you celebrate Christmas or you don't, I hope you have a wonderful break. And I hope your new year is full of the sorts of creative shifts that take you and your business to a brighter and better place. Thanks so much for listening. Hello and welcome to this Creative Shift podcast interview. And at this interview, I'm absolutely delighted to welcome Hannah Molloy of Perfect Dog Sense. Hi, Hannah.
Hello, how are you?
Very good.
Good.
So, Hannah, your business is called Perfect Dog Sense.
Absolutely.
And for those of you, those of us listening who don't know what that is, tell us a little bit about your business right now.
Well, I am a canine behavioural therapist that teaches people about canine body language and dog training, basically. So I get calls from all over the West Midlands from people who are having problems with dogs. I also am on the radio, on Radio WM. I take calls regarding dog problems. I do a bit of charity work for medical detection dogs as well. And I'm a singer when I'm not doing that, just to get some air off my chest.
Wow, fantastic. So I want to hear about all of that at one point, but medical detection dogs, are they dogs that sort of sniff out tumours and things?
Yeah, absolutely. So when I finished my degree, I did a degree in animal behaviour. I always kind of thought I would get into animal psychology of some description. and after I'd finished my degree, I didn't know what species to go for or if to be a broad range behaviourist. You know, there's a lot of learning. And then I read about this charity who had trained dogs to sniff out cancer in human breath and urine samples, and I was just like, that is crazy.
Mind-blowing. That is mind-blowing.
Isn't it? It's chilling. It makes the hair on the back of your neck stand up a little bit. So it made me realise it was a crucial moment in my life, because at that point I could have done anything, and suddenly I realised this species of animal, you know, it's completely dependent on us now. We've domesticated it to the point of, you know, being reliant on us completely. Mm-hmm. And now they're showing how deep that relationship is by proving that they can sniff out biochemical disease, you know, while you're walking around. So that, for me, made me want to just be an ambassador, because I don't think, you know, half the people that go and buy a dog have any idea what they're getting themselves into, let alone how that animal chooses to communicate with them. So, yeah, that's what I made my passion.
So, really. Canine behaviour, canine body language.
Yes.
That's exactly, you're telling us that they do communicate with us. And I will get onto that in a minute. But also, now, the dog whisperer, there's a various things that are kind of popular or trendy in popular culture at the minute, but my sense is often it's not about the dogs, it's about the owners.
Well, I tell you, I think, to be honest with you, it's a combination factor, and that's something I never thought I would come into contact with. And when I started studying dogs are fascinating, they're cute, they're lovely to watch, and you know, you've got the wolf ancestry, and that's mystical and exciting. But the more that I work with people and dogs, I used to work for a rescue centre as well. I was lucky enough to be a behaviourist for a large UK rescue charity. And I saw the same problems coming back to me every time. And I sort of thought that, you know, we just don't understand the way that they talk to us.
Okay.
And you cannot leave the person out of that equation, because it's a constant fluid conversation between a human and a dog.
So are dogs interpreting human behaviour? So if that flow,
yes,
if we're talking about like communication, and yeah, it's really interesting. I'm really interested in human communication, and I've not really thought about it from a canine perspective. So the dog does something, the human reacts.
Yes.
But then the dog will react right back, is what you're saying. The action and reaction is a constant flow.
It's a feedback conversation. And I think the more I've learned about dogs, the more I've gained a respect for how sensitive both they and the humans are, and how sometimes just changing the way that a person is thinking about the situation they're in with their dog can often have a dramatic knock-on effect on the dog almost instantly.
Yeah.
That is a whole new field for me that I'm starting to get really excited about, because it's not just the sort of ABC of dog training program. You know, this is humans and dogs really learning to relax together in life. Yeah. Because it's stressful, you know. Yeah.
And I guess that's how it's been in the past, isn't it? We have tamed dogs. And the French for to train a dog is apprivoiser, which is kind of to put them into to teach them how to just do what they're told.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
And I guess that what you're saying is there are times that's just not dog behaviour.
In some ways, I find it almost disrespectful to the sensitivity of the creature. Like, they are amazing. Like, they would not have stuck with us if they hadn't wanted to a little bit. And they've done a lot of work to sort of figure us out so that we're that we're good fun to live with, you know. We've obviously controlled a lot of their evolution. But at this stage in the game, medical detection dogs only happened because the dogs were talking to the people and went, excuse me, I think you've, on your leg, bit of a problem. I just thought I'd let you know.
Yeah.
And the person was sensitive enough to see that in the dog. So to think in terms of just approaching this dog with command, I mean, you think about the language of training, you know, that people use. I will never use the word heel because I hate it. What a horrible concept.
Yeah.
Dog, heel.
Yeah.
You need to be at my heel. That's it. That's where you have to stay. You know,
or beg.
Yeah, or beg. Yeah, absolutely. Or even just down, you know. I quite like a lie down, or sometimes I'll lengthen my cues to be more of a sentence structure. Some dog trainers don't like that at all, but I understand we're still giving the same hand signal. The dog is having a chat with me. So rather than heel, I teach close or with me or watch.
Wow.
So we're having a conversation. It's always about connection rather than as you're told, dog.
Listeners can't see, but Hannah's doing some fantastic gestures. We'll just have to, you know, fill in some context.
But, can't help myself.
No, absolutely. And that's the other part about it. It's whole body communication.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing is, we don't have two of the aspects of dog communication we can't use scent, as in your nose. Your nose is not nearly as sensitive as your dog. So we're missing out on more than a third of their conversation, definitely, from not having that organ that they're using, that chemical conversation. And we've got a bit of the vocalisation. We can use some words, but majority of dog communication that we can get involved in is in posture and in understanding how the dog uses its body, ears, tail, you know, pressure, where it's leaning, where it's looking, to understand what's going on likely in the dog's head.
So one of the things that Creative Shift's dead interested in, and I'm dead interested in, is confidence. So my guess is that a dog can read human confidence.
Definitely.
The human ability just to be with the dog.
And
what sort of cues are dogs... How does a dog know you're confident, I guess?
That is a cracking question. And I actually do a little exercise with my clients when I do a one-to-one before they start to manage their dog and have a body language orientated conversation. And one of the things that I get them to do is I get them to stand up nice and straight and just have their feet shoulder width apart, because that way you've got your body weight is held. You're not... If you tip one of those feet in, you can try this. If you just tip one foot in, your whole spine shifts in posture. So just standing on two feet and bending your knees a little bit gives you more flexibility and movement. And another thing I'll get people to do is just double check where the tension in their body is and just be a little bit more body aware. So if you roll your shoulders up to your ears and then breathe out and just drop them down and do that
about
three times.
We're all doing this in the studio, by the way.
and just throw those shoulders down and do that three times. Third time round, you have lost all that tension in your top half of your body. And then all you need really is to imagine you've got that pole that just goes up your spine and sits under your head. It's not holding your head straight, it's just sitting underneath. And suddenly you've affected change in your internal chemistry.
Yeah.
Because you've told your body to relax and be on solid feet.
Yeah.
And the last thing I'd always tell people to do to just make sure they're not giving off stress in any situation is push their tummy out. It's counterintuitive. We're told not to. But I tell you what, if you... You can't have any tension if you're pushing that tummy out, and you are much more able to deal with that dog confidently.
This is hilarious, and this is not set up at all. But Hannah, what you've just described is exactly what I coach people in public speaking.
No way.
And what you've just talked about is... like word for word.
Oh my goodness.
What I say, how people should approach public speaking.
Yeah.
Exactly that. Balanced on two feet. I don't say a pole, but I get them to imagine that there's a thread running through from the base of their spine to the tip of their head, and that they're kind of hanging from it. That their shoulders are down and relaxed.
That's it.
That their belly, that they're breathing with their belly, so that they're not holding it in and tense.
Yeah.
And, certainly, when we do the full day, we work with voiceover artists and actors, and they will take people through a physical warm up that can be anything up to 40 minutes in length.
Fantastic,
and
it's worth it. It really does make the difference.
Then that, because confidence is as much about muscle memory, as it is about a mental state. I think people always think that confidence is about knowledge or is about a a preparedness or a you know, I'll swat up for this.
Yes.
I'm going to be confident.
Yes.
But actually, so much of it is just about a physical capability.
Definitely.
Not got very much time, but this has been fascinating, Hannah. And I just wanted to... So part of what we also look at in this is sort of what shifts your business along.
Mm-hmm.
So you were at the rescue centre.
Yeah.
You clearly... What, you started getting a few clients and growing the perfect... dog sense business.
Well,
what were the sort of key moments, two or three key moments?
Well, I left rescue because it was a very hectic environment, and then when I came back to Birmingham, it really was just a bolt of lightning out of the air that I got the opportunity to start my business. It was a really strange occurrence, and someone wanted to gift me some backing to start a business. So I just thought, wow, this is something I've always wanted to do, and I did it, and I worked my bottom off every day, and I did 12-hour days for about a year, and I worked any job that anyone gave me, any client, anywhere, anytime, walking, pet sitting, whatever it was, and then word of mouth started to just grab my business because people could see that my heart was in it, and I just really wanted to help.
Yeah.
And so now it's wonderful. It's taken off to the point where, you know, I'm getting referrals from people that I've never met who said, oh, you know, Jenny the dog walker gave me your business card, and I just think that is just so humbling that happens in connection in business. People do just want to share good service.
Referrals are the lifeblood of any business, and exactly that. What it sounds to me like is that it's a prime example of how playing to your strengths, playing to your passions, and having a really clear sense of the difference that your business can make in the world.
Definitely.
It's very clear that this is something you love, and that the business is kind of shaped around that love.
Yes, exactly.
Shaped around that passion. That's really clear. So, Hannah, what I've taken away from this is... there's almost like this little recipe, which has got some, you know, your passion, your values, and then that actually that little bit of being distinctive, being distinctive on the top of being values and passion led, has, it seems, been a really kind of a real recipe for success. So I hope that it just goes from strength to strength. I'm not a dog owner. I do love them. I have an allergic husband, so not for me, but, it's really fantastic to hear from you, and thanks so much for sharing your business with us, and it's been really great to talk to you.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, Hannah.
Take care.
So with just a few shopping days to go till Christmas, I wanted to talk about how every Christmas we could make a massive impact
on our local and in particular our creative economy. If every single one of us purchased one or two presents from independent retailers on our high street or from makers or experiences from local service providers, we could make a massive impact on their well-being, on the sustainability of their business, and we would be giving a series of really unique and wonderful gifts. A couple of months ago on Twitter, the Design Trust shared a tweet from a gallery in the Southwest that said, "If everybody who had walked into our shop and said it was lovely had bought just one postcard, we wouldn't be closing down today." Now, I know you might have to buy that must-have toy, that must-have handbag for the loved ones in your life. And I'm not eschewing big brands altogether. I like them too. So why not think about maybe looking at some lovely toiletries, something handmade, something unusual or useful. Often these things are upcycled, so they're more environmentally friendly, stopping things going into landfill. Let's look to our independent retailers, art galleries and art gallery retail outlets to spread a bit of Christmas cheer, not just amongst your family and friends, but among your local creative economy. However you spend it, have a fantastic Christmas and a really wonderful New Year. So that's it for this Creative Shift podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Bye. Thank you.